Diary. The Lord has appointed his work. February 21, 1901. The Lord has appointed his work to go forward in missionary lines in such a way as to extend the knowledge of the truth for these last days. A deception has certainly been on those who ought to have been wide awake to see the great, grand work to be done by the people who bear God's sign as represented in Exodus 31, verse 12 to 18. The Lord desires faithful stewards to measure the fields to be worked, and then use wisely his means in advancing the work in these fields. God has a people and a ministry who are to cooperate with him. The judgment of the Lord's ministers has been set aside as unworthy of notice. The Lord will not allow these things to go as they have been going in the past. The promised outpouring of God's life-giving Spirit has been and is still the great hope of God's people. It is the hope and glory of Zion. In this time of spiritual declension, God's ministry is to stand in dignity, efficiency, and power. Wickedness and opposition are seen on every side. God does not direct his work in such a way that those whom he has appointed as his stewards shall link up with men who do not bear the sign of obedience, who walk and work in a way that dishonors God. I cannot sleep. My mind is not at rest. I awake at 11 o'clock with a warning given me. I am warned, "Thus saith the Lord. Tell my people that they must be cautious. The enemy will control minds that are not subdued by the grace of God. In times of test and trial, there will be those who will walk and work in strange paths. Every sentinel must now be wide awake, for many have closed their eyes, lest they should see and be converted, and I should heal them. If in these times of declension, those whom I have in the past sustained as my instruments in doing my work do not choose to carry out my purposes or to be freed from their delusions, make no compromise with them. Warn my people. Tell them that what they are handling is not their own creation, but is my property. The skill and tact God has given for the benefit of his people in special emergencies is not to be selfishly retained by those to whom they have been entrusted, and they are not to be used as men shall please. He to whom I have given skill is my servant as long as he will serve me, cooperating with me in helping my people. When he takes the Lord's inventions as his own, when he claims as his own the skill and wisdom I have given him, he is practicing robbery toward God, and is making his fellow men amenable to a finite man who has received God's gifts to impart to others. The question was asked, "What have my agents that they have not received at my hand? Will they take their endowments and use them for their own advantage, as though they were not a gift? This is the way of the Gentiles, but not the way of the Lord. The Lord is continually blessing his people. He has given certain ones special qualifications for doing certain lines of work. He fits them to accomplish that which will be a blessing to his people. He says, 'I have placed no patent right upon the endowment of skill for the manufacture of certain goods, and neither are those to whom I have entrusted this line of work to do this. I designed that this work should be a blessing to those who would receive it as such.' Thus it was with the manna given to the children of Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness. Man did eat angels' food. And the strangers connected with the Israelites, who complied with the conditions, who did not profane God's Sabbath, were to share the goods of heaven. The light God has given is for the benefit of all who will receive and act upon the light. God will not bless any institution or any human agents who deprive humanity of foods that would be a blessing to them. The production of foods is not the work of one mind. Many minds have been wrought upon to produce healthful food so that God's people, by discarding the flesh and fat and all that pertains to animal food, might not be exposed to the diseases which are upon the unbelieving world. The food question has not yet reached perfection. There is still much to learn in this line. The Lord desires the minds of His people all over the world to be in such a condition that they can receive His impressions regarding the combining of certain articles in the production of foods which will be a necessity, but are not yet produced.
One man is not to suppose that by himself, by different experiments, he has originated the food question. There has been a gathering of ideas, and then experiments have been made which have placed the food question upon the basis on which it now stands. And the Lord has much more for those who will use the knowledge He shall give. The Lord will give understanding to many minds. No man, after receiving knowledge from God, is to put a price upon that knowledge, and so bind the movements of his fellow men that he himself will receive the benefit. This is the world's way. I have been instructed that our institutions are to be left as free to experiment upon the food question as Dr. Kellogg has been, but they are to be guarded. They are not to put a price upon the knowledge which comes from God to be used for the benefit of suffering humanity. As famine and want and distress shall increase more and more in the world, the production of the health foods will be greatly simplified. Those who are engaged in this work should learn constantly of the great teacher who loves his people and keeps their good ever in view. God calls upon his servants to be clothed with his salvation, to arise and shine, to reveal to all men that their God is a good and merciful God who hates oppression. His servants are not to allow themselves to be intimidated by threatenings or overcome by despondency. They are to seek from God the working of the Holy Spirit. With repentance, obedience, and earnest intercession, this great gift is to be sought. God will hear the prayers of his people as he heard the prayers of Daniel, and will come to their deliverance, and make known to them, as he did to Daniel, the things which are shortly to take place. It cannot now be said to the Lord's servants as it was to Daniel, and the time of the fulfillment of the vision was long. Daniel 10, verse 1. It is now but a short time till the witnesses of God will have done their work in preparing the way of the Lord. God calls upon them to arise and shine. The impartation of Christ's righteousness is the sum of all blessings. Christ invites all to come to Him, to link themselves up with Him, to receive His justifying righteousness, which, at a great cost to himself, he has provided to be given without money and without price to men and women. It fills every heart that will receive it with thanksgiving and praise. The Lord has the richest blessings in store for his faithful witnesses. The whole earth is to be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. The praise and thanksgiving that will go forth from human lips will be a sign that whose keep the commandments are chosen and precious in the sight of God. The progress of the kingdom of God in our world is a continual sign of His infinite wisdom and power. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee when thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Isaiah 45, verse 5-8. We have a great work to do in our world. If ministers and doctors will work in God's lines, He will work with them. But they must change, decidedly change, in spirit and character. They must remember that they are not the only ones to whom the Lord will give wisdom. If His people will not follow in His way, the Lord will employ heathen princes to do His will. Man's ability to reason concerning God and His works and ways comes from Him who is the source of all knowledge. The knowledge of heavenly things is not opened to the ambitious and the proud, but to the poor in spirit. God takes notice of those who have a kind and thankful heart. He is mighty, and He will not withhold anything from those who will conscientiously do righteousness, following in His ways, cutting away from their work all selfishness and all sense of superiority. The talent of means is to be looked upon as sacred, to be used in helping God's children. Money wisely used is a golden link which binds man more closely to God and his fellow men. The Lord's money is not to be lavishly expended by a few to exalt their ambitious plans. All comes from God, and all is to be returned to God. Man is not to seek for the glory or to seek to lord it over God's heritage. The Lord desires His ministers to advocate right principles. One is not to be exalted, while his brother ministers are humbled in the dust, in poverty and suffering, carrying heavy loads, yet unappreciated.
Those who are ambitious to be distinguished would draw upon God's money to build monuments to distinguish themselves. God reads every purpose of the heart. He knows every thought that comes into the mind of man. Therefore, let us be careful to deal justly. Let us not do anything that God does not require. Oh, can I by any means present this as it really exists? There are those who are called upon at a great sacrifice to help the medical missionary work. But the souls of the children of God are more precious in His sight than those who, once possessing talent and intelligence, have ruined themselves by self-indulgence, who have corrupted themselves, soul, body, and spirit. The Lord does not pass over His faithful ones, who choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The Lord has given the counsel, "Do good." But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6, verse 4-10. By an offer of gratuitous pardon, God calls the members of the sinful human family to Himself, to be bound up with Him. He will not sanction the least lifting up of man above his fellow men. "I am God," He says. "I will speak and reprove and correct in judgment. But wherein is man to be accounted? For he hath received everything at my hand." Does he think that it is his privilege to lift up and cast down? Man's devices. In his ambitious mind, he fashions a thing that I have not directed, and it becomes his idol. He worships the work of his own hands. The good and evil actions of men are so under God's control that he accomplishes his purposes and wise counsels by making plain the contrast between righteousness and unrighteousness. No man is forced to be righteous. God permits men to pursue a course which will reveal the spirit which controls their actions. All are amenable to God. By him, all will be called upon to give an account of their actions. Why cannot man see that he is only a finite being, possessing capabilities and gifts that are to be used to the glory of God's name? Oh, how inconsistent it is for men to contend against God's dealings with them, as if they could sit in judgment upon God and say, "Why do ye so?" God possesses absolute and supreme authority over the hearts and minds of all men, and he will exercise his authority throughout eternity. Those human beings who use the powers of the mind on the wrong side do this to their sure destruction. God has pledged himself to humble every human being who oppresses his people. When men think they are secure, then it is that they are in the greatest peril. The 48th chapter of Isaiah is an illustration of the experience of the publishing institutions. "Hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. I, even I, have spoken. Yea, I have called him. I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadest thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened unto my commandments! Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." Verses 12:15-18. The Lord desires his people to understand that their prosperity is hid with him in Christ, and that it is dependent on their humility and meekness, their wholehearted obedience and devotion to him. But nothing is so difficult for the human agent to learn as this. When the Lord does great things for a man, that man then supposes that he is necessary to the Lord, that God must have his abilities. He forgets that he was once purged from his old sins. He is blind and cannot see afar off. The Lord will work for his people if they will submit to be worked by the Holy Spirit, not thinking that they must work the Spirit. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also, with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. The Lord your God is a God of gods, the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 to 15, 17 to 21. God's commandments express his will and man's duty. Those whose hearts are softened and subdued by the Holy Spirit will place themselves under God's control. They will see that the fierce passion they have manifested in the past is a grievous sin. God is no respecter of persons. He knows of the course men pursue, whether they serve him in truth and righteousness, or act in opposition to his will. Men are accounted holy because they are stewards in trust, not because of any outward distinction or profession. God judges according to incorruptible principles, principles that cannot be bought or sold. In his law, God has made known his will to lead human beings to be righteous in thought, word, and deed. God's ministers have a most solemn, sacred work to do in our world. The end is near. The message of truth must go. As faithful shepherds of the flock, God's servants are to bear a clear, sharp testimony. There is to be no perverting of the truth. Divine grace never leads away from mercy and the love of God. It is the power of Satan that does this. When Christ preached, his message was like a sharp, two-edged sword, piercing the consciences of men and revealing their inmost thoughts. The work that Christ did, his faithful messengers will have to do. In simplicity, purity, and the strictest integrity, they are to preach the word. Those who labor in word and doctrine are to be faithful to their charge. They are to watch for souls as they that must give an account. Never are they to clothe a thus saith the Lord with enticing words of man's wisdom. Thus they destroy its living energy, making it weak and powerless, so that it fails to convict of sin. Every word spoken by the direction of the Holy Spirit will be full of the deepest solicitude for the salvation of souls. The minister's acceptance with God depends not on outward show, but on his faithful discharge of duty. Christ's road to exaltation lay through the deepest humiliation. Those who are partakers with Christ in his sufferings, who follow cheerfully in his footsteps, will be partakers with him in his glory. It has been the continual endeavor of the enemy to introduce into the church persons who assent to much that is truth, but who are not converted. Professed Christians who are false to their trust are channels through whom Satan works. He can use unconverted church members to advance his own ideas and retard the work of God. Their influence is always on the side of wrong. They place criticism and doubt as stumbling blocks in the way of reform. They introduce unbelief because they have closed their eyes to the righteousness of Christ and have not the glory of the Lord as their reward. Unity is the strength of the church. Satan knows this, and he employs his whole force to bring in dissension. He desires to see a lack of harmony among the members of the Church of God. Greater attention should be given to the subject of unity. What is the recipe for the cure of the leprosy of strife and dissension? Obedience to the commandments of God. This morning, June 1900, God has been teaching me that we are not to dwell upon the differences which weaken the church. He prescribes a remedy for strife. By keeping his Sabbath holy, we are to show that we are his people. His word declares the Sabbath to be a sign by which to distinguish the commandment-keeping people. Thus, God's people are to preserve among them a knowledge of him as their creator. Those who keep the law of God will be one with him in the great controversy commenced in heaven between Satan and God. Disloyalty to God means contention and strife against the principles of God's law. Everything connected with the cause of God is sacred and is to be thus regarded by His people. The councils that have any reference to the cause of God are sacred. Christ gave His life to bring a sinful world to repentance. Those who are imbued with the Spirit that dwelt in Christ will work as God's husbandmen in caring for His vineyard. They will not merely work in spots which they may choose. They are to be wise managers and faithful workers, making it their highest aim to fulfill the commission which Christ has given. Just before His ascension, the Savior told His disciples that, beginning at Jerusalem, they must go to all nations, kindreds, tongues, and peoples. And He added, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20. I am much burdened in regard to the way in which the work is being swayed in Battle Creek. The chief physician in any of our sanitariums is not to have his mind occupied with a variety of business. He should not have so many things to absorb his attention that many things are not done as they ought to be done. If he allows his mind to be taken off his work to answer calls from various places, to speak to the people, and create an interest in the health question, his influence is not where it should be. We have this difficulty to meet in Australia. Dr. Caro supposes that he must go here and there to superintend the work of the whole field. But this is not his work. He is not fitted to establish sanitariums or to gather money for sanitariums. His work is to build up the interests of the sanitarium where he is located. He should prepare the way for the patients to have ministerial advantages. He should not think that he can supply all that the patients need in this line. There should be those who can speak to them upon temperance from a Bible standpoint, and other subjects with which Dr. Caro is not thoroughly acquainted. A much wider field will thus be opened before the patients than if Dr. Caro were to do all the work in this line. Much good that might have been done has not been done because Dr. Caro has assumed responsibilities which he was not fitted to carry. The talks of others are needed just as much as his own talks. Here, a mistake has been made. Dr. Caro has his work to do, but he must make room for the ministers to whom the Lord has been giving light, who have just as great an interest in the health of the soul as he has in the health of the body. In spiritual lines, our sanitariums are not to be under the control of the physicians. This work needs men of thought, men of tact, men who have a broad acquaintance with Bible subjects. Such men should be brought in connection with our sanitariums, which have not had the benefit they should have had from gospel ministers. The institutions have needed these men, but a way has not been made for them. Why are our sanitariums established? Over and over again, the reason has been given: to relieve suffering humanity and to bring men and women to a knowledge of the truth for this time. Dr. Caro should bring into connection with the sanitarium in Australia men with varied spiritual gifts, through whom the Lord will work to make the truth a blessing to many minds. Dr. Caro needs to remember that he has not yet proved himself capable of conducting a sanitarium as it should be conducted. Therefore, in his spiritual inexperience, he should exercise the greatest caution. He should have a humble opinion of his own efficiency. He should remember that he is on trial before the heavenly universe, before the church, and before the world. Now is his opportunity to be taught by God. He needs to read the Sermon on the Mount and practice the instruction it contains. The course he pursued after the Maitland camp meeting shows that in a crisis he could not be depended on to conduct matters wisely. He is in danger of depending on his own wisdom.
Thus, he will hurt his own influence and will misrepresent the work of Seventh-day Adventists. The light given me is that the course pursued by Dr. Caro after the Maitland camp meeting and later at Parramatta and Sydney must not be repeated. This course of action showed the wisdom of Dr. Caro, not the wisdom of God. These erratic movements have a deleterious influence upon the cause. The Lord has a place and work for thousands of men in connection with His cause. But when men feel that they can go on a warfare at their own charges, the Lord is left on one side and they exhibit themselves. What is the result? A failure, for Christ says, "Without me, ye can do nothing." John 15, verse 5. When a minister or a physician feels that by his smartness and tact he can represent the cause of God, he leaves the side of Christ and runs ahead of him. He will learn to his sorrow that the divine presence and power is wanting in his work, that without the Lord Jesus, his labors are worthless. Dr. Caro should indeed feel that he has lessons to learn, lessons which he has supposed were not essential. Precious truth will bear away the victory. When a man accepts the truth only as a makeshift and then takes himself into his own hands and yokes up with men who have no interest in the truth, seeking for human influence, he exchanges the presence and companionship of Christ for an influence that will retard, that will never help him as he needs to be helped. But when the truth is stamped upon the soul, it makes its impress upon the whole being. These things must be spoken, to my great sorrow. Things have occurred which have hurt us as a people. Wounds have been made which will never be healed. From the light given me, there is too much at stake to thus endanger the principles of truth. I have been given instruction that in our sanitariums, our ministers, who labor in word and doctrine, should give short talks upon the principles of temperance, showing that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and bringing to the minds of the people the responsibility resting upon them as God's purchased possession to make the body a holy temple, fit for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. As this instruction is given, the people will become interested in Bible doctrine. There must also be presented the moral pestilence that is making the inhabitants of the world today like the inhabitants of the world before the flood: bold, blasphemous, intemperate, corrupted. The sins that are practiced are making this earth a lazar house of corruption. These sins must be sternly rebuked. Those who preach must uplift the standard of temperance from a Christian standpoint. As temperance is presented as a part of the gospel, many will see their need of reform. They will see the evil of intoxicating liquor. Total abstinence is the only platform on which God's people can conscientiously stand. May the Lord help his physicians, who are exposed to temptations, to abstain from the very appearance of evil. May he help the ministers also, who preach the gospel, to be careful of their words, their deportment, their actions. The ministers of the gospel and the physicians in our institutions are to practice the truth on every point. Let them remember their human weakness and that there are two kinds of human agencies who will be tested and tried, whose true value will be proved in the furnace of trial, in the battle of Christian life. Those who serve God with all the heart, because they know Him whom to know aright is life eternal, and they who are seeking with all the heart for a knowledge of God, realizing that they do not know Him. Those who are saved must have a revelation of Christ, a daily experience which harmonizes with His teaching. Truth must be planted in the heart if it controls the life, and forms a character that shall speak to the world of Christ. All who are partakers of the divine nature will realize that the Holy Spirit works with them, taking the truth from the sacred word where Christ has placed it, and stamping it upon the soul. But we are in great peril of keeping the truth in the outer court, neglecting to bring it into the sanctuary of the soul. Earnestly and solemnly, we should prepare ourselves for the cleansing of the soul temple, remembering that we are a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. This work, when thoroughly done, will cleanse the heart from all disunion, all strife, all desire for the supremacy. Contention, strife, evil thinking, and evil speaking are the enemy's tares, which he plants in the human heart to spring up and bear a baleful crop. An evil work always follows selfish superiority. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Daniel 12, verse 8 to 10. This is the work that is to be done for this time. Let ministers and physicians remember that their only safety is in being bound up together with Christ in God. They are to do their work by the Lord's appointment, and both occupy the same field.
Christ was the foundation of the whole Jewish economy. In the service of the Jewish priesthood, we are continually reminded of the sacrifice and intercession of Christ. All who come to Christ today are to remember that His merit is the incense that mingles with the prayers of those who repent of their sins and receive pardon and mercy and grace. Our need of Christ's intercession is constant. Day by day, morning and evening, the humble heart needs to offer up prayers to which will be returned answers of grace and peace and joy. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. Hebrews 13, verse 15-16.